I heard this story first from a wonderful storyteller named Laura Sims. And when she told it, she invited all of us to take in 3 deep breaths. So I'm going to do the same. 3, 1, and that's 2. Wake up and wake up our listening. So in the time when there was no day and no night, no darkness and no light, everything was gray, gray, endlessly gray. People lit fires so that they might cook, so that they might eat, so they might see one another. But the fires went out. The fires went out. And it is said there was a girl of the earliest race who went walking about in that endless gray, and she saw the gray ashes. And then she saw some embers in those ashes. And she bent down and she scooped up those embers and she threw them into the sky. And then there was darkness, punctuated by specks of light. And then the sun rose and painted the sky pink and orange and yellow. And still you could almost see the stars like shadows of light. And then the sun rose higher, and there was day. And then there was night. And since that day, there has been day and night, light and dark, and light again. So I invite you to take another few breaths and just think about the images of that story as Leslie comes forward to light our chalice. She has been a real spark of creativity in the Nature Playground project. So I invite you now to just call out an image from the story that sticks in your mind. We won't use the mic. I just want to see what happens with the hearing a few images that were strong for you in the story. Sparks.
Throwing.
Whirl.
Ashes.
Embers.
Light and dark.
Creation.
Gray.
Magic. Points of light.
All of it.
Well, thank you. I think that's a kind of word poem we just created.
I'm going to share with you now a story. I think I've decided once again that the library is a magical place. And I found this book when I was looking for something new, something different to read. And I came across this book called Maybe Something Beautiful. And you've got the reference in your order of service, and the pictures are going to be up on the screen in front of you. And it begins with the fact that there was a gray city, but you'll notice there's one window in the middle of the city that's lots of color. And that has to do with the protagonist of our story. In the heart of a gray city, there lived a girl who loved to doodle, draw, color, and paint. Every time she saw a blank piece of paper, Mira thought to herself, maybe. And because of this, her room was filled with color, and her heart was filled with joy. On her way to school one day, Mira gave a round apple to Mr. Henry, the owner of the shop down the street. She gave a flower to Ms. Lopez, the lady with the sparkling eyes. She gave a songbird to Mr. Sachs and a red heart to the policeman who walked up and down the streets. On her way home, Mira taped a glowing sun onto the wall, hiding in the shadows. Her city was less gray, but not by much. The next day, Mira saw a man with a pocket full of paintbrushes. He gazed at the wall, he looked at her son, he held his fingers up in a square. See, that's what he's doing there. He held his finger in a square. He said thoughtfully. What do you see? Mira asked. Maybe something beautiful, the man replied. Now, this picture's supposed to go this way, but you guys can't have it that way. Then, just like that, he dipped a brush in the paint. Bam! Pow! The shadows scurried away. Sky blue cut through the gloom. The man's laughter, ha 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 ha, was like a rainbow spreading across the sky. Who are you? Mira asked. I'm an artist, he said, a muralist. I paint on walls. I'm an artist too, she told him. He handed Mira a brush. Then come on. Mira dipped it in the loudest color she saw. Yowie! The wall lit up like sunshine. As the man drew pictures on the bricks, Mira added color, punch, and pizzazz. Because every place needs pizzazz, right? Soon, Mr. Sachs joined in, and then came others. Everyone painted to the rhythm. Salsa, merengue, bebop. This is my favorite picture right here. Yeah! It feels like that. Even Mira's mama painted and danced the cha-cha-cha. The whole neighborhood became a giant block party until the policeman walked up. Excuse me, he said. The music stopped. Mira put her brush down. They were surely in trouble. The officer cleared his throat, then paused. May I paint with you? He asked. So Mira handed him a paintbrush, and the music started again. Teachers and papas jumped in, babies too. Mira and the man handed out brush after brush. Color spread throughout the streets. And so did joy. Wherever Mira and the man went, art followed like the string of a kite. After they colored the walls, they painted utility boxes and benches. They decorated sidewalks with poetry and shine, and everyone danced. Together, they created something more beautiful than they had ever imagined. When their clothes were splattered with a million colors, see, even the dog and the cat have colors splattered all over them, everyone sat down to rest except the muralist. His eyes sparkled. You, my friends, are all artists, he told them. The world is your canvas. He smiled wide and then pulled everything together in big, sweeping motions. His paintbrush was like a magic wand. When he finished, Mira added one more bird way up in the sky. Maybe, she thought. Just maybe. And now look what the neighborhood looks like. That gray neighborhood looks like a bunch of embers got thrown around. And now we will start to think about how we might create our own something beautiful together this morning.
And today is a little bit different. So we get to listen to music for a longer while and get creative. After the offering basket has passed a row, anyone can come forward to one of the creation stations. Up here at the front, you're invited to place a special contribution on the altar table. At the back, you can contribute to the communal drawing. Up here, there's adding blessing beads to one of your favorite prayer strings. And just by the sound text there, you can help weave inspiration on the loom. A contribution to the basket is not required to participate in any of these creative activities. If you will most enjoy the service by continuing to draw, bead, or weave after we move on and start some talking, that's just fine. Please feel free to do so. And if coming up to the front is a challenge for you, please put your hand up and we will bring some creative supplies to you.
I can see that we clearly are a people of creativity. It's wonderful. So we welcome you to continue, if that is what you'd like to do. And we are going to begin to share a few stories of creativity in our community. So some of the time we're creating with objects or sounds, as we've done this morning. But other times, we create maybe with food. There's lots of that that happens here. That's a fond memory from Christmas cookies a few years ago or midwinter for pageant. Other times, our creativity is a little quieter. And some of you have chosen to stay in your chairs and just be quiet. And I want to acknowledge that that is really a form of creativity too. Brené Brown writes, "Creativity is the way I share my soul with the world. It's a new thought, a new feeling that comes with each new breath." So now, Shauna, Anna, and I are going to share some stories of creativity. We asked a few people what making space for creativity has done for your group. And the first response that came in was from Cheryl, the person who some of you know well, and you might recognize some people on the screen too. Cheryl works with the Spirit Explorers group, the group that's right, you're a Spirit Explorer. And she writes, "Spaces made for creativity take what could be predetermined and transform it into possibility, a space for something new. In suspending our desire for control, together we practice being able to share in a kind of listening without assumption, and we open ourselves to vulnerability." For Cheryl personally, inviting creativity has replaced fear, for the creative is like waves on the ocean, constant but not predictable, calling for a disposition that embraces the unknown. Collectively, the spaces we have made together in Spirit Explorers has oftentimes attuned our ability to notice what we could not imagine without the gift of each other's insights and unique ways of being. Our ways of noticing and listening are supported by a creative nature that upholds the inherent dignity of each individual, willing us to see differently than through our own eyes. Cheryl says that the day we constructed sculptures with straws and connectors is a day I have reflected upon a number of times, because the process of sharing an idea and letting it go was a challenge. Challenge to our need for control and ownership. Creativity.
That's you, yeah.
Creativity is not only a way of thinking through our ideas, it's also a way to recognize the beauty in what may be unfamiliar or different from the comfort of our own ways of being. The children show constantly how natural it is to create through their drawings and narratives, through their movement, and in the moments of sharing their thoughts around the chalice, there is much creativity.
The next person we asked about making space for creativity was Earl Anthony, and I've been looking forward to channeling my inner Earl for years now, so this is good. I get to share some of his words with you this morning about his work with gardens and grounds. The success of the gardens and grounds comes more from necessity than a well-thought-out plan. It is a lot of work to manage and improve the grounds of our church. I cannot do it all myself, so I engage others. I've had some success finding new workers through the shared ministry program, but my other, rather infamous approach is to just badger people. The trick is to get ongoing involvement, not just one afternoon, and involve people in jobs they like. I have a lawnmower committee. Some like weeding and trimming a garden. Some like working in the veggie garden. Some like trimming hedges and trees. Others like building or digging or participating in bigger one-off projects. Once people are set loose on a project, I'm always amazed by the results. Earl goes on to write, "In February, I'm going to try a new approach. I'm calling it the Winter Works Program. I'm going to invite the members and friends of the church to come out on Tuesdays between 10 and 3 to work with me on the grounds. They can stay for any length of time they wish. I have little dainty jobs and moderate jobs and tough jobs. If it rains, we will go home." I like that a lot. "All they need are gloves, good shoes, a hat, and the need for a couple of hours of exercise in the fresh air."
You may recognize a few people in that picture. I'm baffled by how hard it is for me to carve out time for creativity. The weird thing is that I enjoy being creative, and yet getting started can be a battle. I don't know why it happens, but I've come up with one solution. There we go. Creativity micro retreats. Each fourth Thursday of the month are my appointments with my writing. Our cozy church library is the perfect spot to escape from my excuses and stalling tactics. The space is open to all of you this Thursday from 5 to 9 p.m. Come when you can and leave when you will. It is astonishing how much easier it is to get creative in community. I may be collaging and you may be knitting, but the creative spirit is contagious. Whether we are chatting or sitting in comfortable silence, it is fun to be together and to support each other. Perhaps you felt that spirit at the creation stations that you just visited. Maybe you already belong to a quilting guild or a pottery class. Maybe today will inspire you to invite a friend over to cook, or to bring papers and pen for doodling the next time you go out for coffee. For me, being creative is a spiritual practice. A lot like yoga or meditation, I've had considerable struggles trying to establish a personal practice with very erratic and limited success. It can even be hard to convince myself to go to yoga class or group meditation. But once I arrive, those working alongside me give me strength and inspiration. Instead of beating myself up for my troubles with practicing alone, I'm trying to appreciate, perhaps most importantly, spiritual practices are not just about the practice. They are about how the practice transforms the rest of our living. May our creative acts here today be a spark that nourishes our individual lives and the lives of this faith community.
It's starting to make me think you guys need, like, bead stations at home and looms, because I'm thinking, wow, you guys just took to this. Like, you were waiting for an invitation. And so I want to invite us now into a different creative act, which is the creative act of singing together. And I want to appreciate all of the different kinds of creativity that we see here every single Sunday, and I think sometimes we even take it for granted. So we don't always fully appreciate the art on the walls that our artists of the month create and how it changes this space. We don't always take the time to look around and appreciate, like, the art that the person who does the flower arrangement of the day puts in. And I happen to know that Chris Cook worked hard on the Gung Hae Fat Choi, because this week is your Lunar New Year, right? So there are all kinds of things that we do to bring our own creativity, which is really to say to bring our own selves, our deepest inner selves, to bear on this community. And so this morning I'm going to invite us to sing a song that I find inspirational, because the other thing that I found really inspirational was seeing images from around the world of people marching. The creativity that spread across the globe yesterday of people saying that it matters how we treat one another. It matters who we are in this world. And so I was thinking about songs that lift me up, songs that give me hope, regardless of what's going on in the world on any given day. And I thought about this song that we used to sing a lot when I was in D.C., which is a song by the Gullah people. The Gullah people are people who settled, were really African slaves, who ended up settled in sort of South Carolina, coastal Georgia. So there's still some little enclaves of these people who speak a sort of Creole English, kind of interesting melange of everything. They got a little West Africa going on. They got a little Creole stuff going on. And they created a lot of things, a lot of artistic things. Perhaps you saw a movie a couple decades ago called Daughters of the Dust about these people. Gloria Naylor wrote a lovely book about them called Mama Day. All kinds of really interesting things about the Gullah people. And the Gullah people created this song called Yonder Come Day. And we're going to sing that song this morning. And part of what I love about Yonder Come Day is it's really simple, right? It just says, Yonder Come Day. Day is a break. And Yonder Come Day, oh my soul. Yonder Come Day, day is a break. And sun is arising in my soul. And I remember the first couple times I sang it, I was like, oh, you know, it's about sunrise and kind of the beauty of sunrise. And then I thought, you know, you're not looking deep enough in this song. The song isn't just about the beauty of sunrise. It is about the beauty of sunrise, but it's about the beauty of sunrise in our spirits, too. It's about a people who had to celebrate sunrises wherever they could find them after being brought over in ships. And so the song, we're going to sing it this morning, and I'm going to invite you to step outside your comfort zone a little bit. Right? It's creativity day, right? So you could move. You could. You could add a little. Because I sometimes, when I'm singing this, I'm like, oh, yeah, it needs a little. And then I go, oh, yonder come day. Day is breaking, yonder come day. Oh, my soul, yonder come day. Day is breaking, sun is rising in my soul. You got the yonder come day. Day is breaking, yonder come day. Oh, my soul, yonder come day. Day is breaking, sun is rising in my soul. You got the yonder come day. Day is breaking, yonder come day. Oh, my soul, yonder come day. Day is breaking, sun is rising in my soul. And those of you who are really creative, you might add a little wrinkle. Yonder come day, yeah, it's the breaking. Sun is rising in my soul. I said, yonder come day. Day is breaking. Yonder come day. Oh, my soul. Yonder come day. Day is breaking. Sun is rising in my soul. I said, three more times. Come day. Day is breaking. Yonder come day. Oh, my soul. Yonder come day. Close our time together today. We're going to do something completely outside the box because that's what we wanted. This was called Outside the Box Sunday. I saw some of y'all moving in ways I've never seen you move before. And I've been with y'all for 6.5 years and I didn't know you had those moves. Yeah. I was like, look at all those hips. Okay. So this morning we're going to do a spiral on our way out. So I'm going to take half of the room to follow me. So that means that like this half of the middle and this half of the room, you're going to get up and come into this aisle. And then you're going to follow me and we're going to go walking by all of the different, actually my group, we're not going to walk past all of the creation stations. We're going to walk past the beads and the altar and the drawings on our way out so that we can see the collective creativity. We can see what has been created this morning. And then Faye is going to lead the other side of the room in the opposite direction. So hopefully, if this works the way we envision it, not only will you see the creation stations, but you might see a few friendly faces on the way by as well.